I haven't worked with kids a ton in my life, little kids, but a handful of times I've taken care of them. I worked at a daycare for a little while, and one of the, I don't know if you call it tricks or strategies to working with little kids, and I'm not talking like middle schoolers and high schoolers, though this trick might work for them too, but little ones here, is to give them a job. Give them something to do, especially if it's something that you would do, but you hand it off to them. So it's like, okay, little Johnny, you're in charge of the door. Nobody gets to leave without my permission. You got it? And now Johnny's doing something for me, and he's less likely to get in trouble. But he has a job. But as we get older, we continue to get responsibilities. Somebody else will come to us and say, I need you to do this for me. So maybe your boss might come to you and say, you know that business, that sales trip to Philadelphia? I'm not going to be able to make it. I need you to go in my place and close the deal. Right? So you have been authorized to go do this on behalf of somebody else. And we have words for this in the English language. Sometimes we might use a word like ambassador. That's somebody who goes on behalf of somebody else and represents them. Or perhaps another word would be a delegate. Send a delegate in your place to go and do something for you or represent you. One that I like is deputy, right? A deputy is somebody who does something. You might recognize this deputy. Some of you know that. Deputy Fife there, Barney Fife. He's one of my favorite deputies there. What is a deputy, right? It's somebody, the sheriff is in charge and has the authority, and he deputizes. He gives somebody else his authority and says, you are going to help me do my job. We as Christians are Christian deputies. Jesus has vested us with authority to do the things that he has been doing and calling us to carry forward his job. Hopefully we'll do it a little bit more competently than Barney Fife. But we've been called to be Christian deputies. And as we look at the final chapter here in Luke, we're going to see some of the keys of how we can be Christian deputies. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer before we get into the word together. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask for your help this morning. Give me your Holy Spirit so that I can communicate your word faithfully. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we'll have an attentive heart and be able to pay attention and key in on the things that you want us to hear this morning from your word. So I pray that you help me preach it with power this morning. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we read this last part of Luke, it's funny to me that the extremes that Jesus goes to, it's almost comical how extreme he goes to try and prove to his disciples that he's real, that he's actually right in front of them, and that he's not a ghost. Because that's what happens at first, is they see him, and they think they're seeing a ghost. That's what Luke tells us here. Jesus is now, for the first time, showing up to all of his disciples here. I'm going to just pray, actually, right now, so that I'm not distracted and you're not distracted right now. Heavenly Father, I just need extra help this morning. Pray for our sister. I pray that you'll give her a spirit of calm. Help her to be relaxed. Help us all to pay attention to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was saying, Jesus shows up, and there he is with his disciples. For the first time, he's showing up to all of them. And they can't believe it because they just saw him crucified. And they don't believe it, and they're scared because they think they're seeing a ghost. And Jesus is like, guys, it's really me. So first of all, he says, look, you can see me, right? You can see me. And he shows them hands and feet. Why hands and feet? Well, I think there's scars there. He says, you see this? You see these scars? This is me. I was the one on the cross. Now I'm in front of you. But if that's not good enough, he says, why don't you touch me? Come on, you can touch me. I'm real. You can't touch a ghost, can you? Ghosts don't have flesh and bones. And he says, I do. And they're still kind of in shock, and they're starting maybe to believe it, but it says that in their joy, they still are having a hard time believing it. So what does he do? He says, you got any food? I love it. He says, you have anything to eat? Look, because ghosts don't eat. You know, I've seen Harry Potter. The ghost can't eat, right? I don't know if you remember Nearly Headless Nick. He's envious of the kids because they can eat food. Ghosts don't eat. Sorry, Harry Potter's not real, in case anybody needed to know. Yeah, it's just fun. It's just pretend. He says, I'm not a ghost. I'm really right in front of you. Now, why is Jesus going to such lengths to prove that he is physically, bodily raised from the dead? Well, I think there's a couple reasons. One is a little bit more theological, if you will, and it's not emphasized a bunch here, but it's a theme that's carried throughout Luke, and we'll see into Acts as well. This idea that Jesus, it was important that they understood he was bodily raised from the dead because he was the beginning of God's act of restoration. God is in the process of rescuing and saving his world, and the first act of new creation is the resurrection of Jesus himself. And he tells us, and Paul makes this really clear, all of us who believe in Christ will be raised, and it will be new creation, but it's begun in Jesus. And it's not just a spiritual thing. I mean, he is working with this world that he has created and making it new, and he's begun with Jesus. And I think Jesus wants his disciples to get it and to understand that this is what God is doing. He's making things new. So there's continuity with Jesus, his body before and after, but it's also new and different. Showed up in a room with locked doors. You know, I can't do that right now. You can't do that, but Jesus can. So he's saying, look, God's work has begun. His work of new creation has begun in me. But I think there's also, in a sense, a more practical reason that he wants them to realize that he's real and he's right there in front of them. And it's because soon he won't be there with them anymore. Soon he's going to be leaving. He's going to be going back to the Father. And they won't be able to reach out and touch him anymore. And he wants to make very clear that he was real and it wasn't just a hallucination. They saw, they touched, they ate with him. He was right in front of them. And he wants them to know, after he's left, that is the reality that they have experienced. When our kids were younger, we didn't get to go out very often. But occasionally, Sarah and I would go out without the kids. And Sarah was very meticulous in detailing out for the babysitter everything that needs to happen for the kids. She was very helpful in that way because the kids mattered to us, so she'd spell it out. Here's what they can eat. Here's when they should do it. Here's the bedtime routine, front and back on the page, the whole thing. So there was it was all spelled out. It was very clear what the babysitter was supposed to do. And in our absence, she would be, or he would be, taking care of our kids, and we wanted it to be clear. And I think Jesus is doing something similar. I think he is spelling out for his disciples the reality that they are supposed to be proclaiming. Because he won't be there personally anymore to be doing it for in their place. They're going to be proclaiming him. And he wants them to be very clear that he was real. He is right in front of them. He is raised from the dead. And because Jesus is going to be leaving soon, that's actually where Luke ends his gospel. The last thing that we read in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus actually departs and goes back to heaven. And so the very last paragraph of the whole book, he says, then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and that's the village next to Jerusalem, right there on the Mount of Olives. And he says, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And from earth, raised to heaven and seated at the right hand of God. It was like an enthronement. He is the living King, but he's not with them bodily, and he's not with us bodily right now. And so it was important that his disciples understand he really was and is real and raised from the dead. And they got it. They did get the message. We can see in the book of Acts, over in Acts chapter 10, that they understood this, and this is the message that they proclaimed. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 39, this is Peter, one of the guys who was there, who witnessed Jesus' resurrection, who saw him and touched him and ate fish with him and heard him and listened to him and touched him. And so this is what he says. Peter says, and we are witnesses of all that he did. We disciples, we followers of Jesus who saw him with our own eyes, we are witnesses of all that Jesus did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Isn't that interesting? He remembered that. That stood out. We had dinner with the guy. He is really raised from the dead. And Jesus wants them to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, another aspect that Luke emphasizes and Jesus emphasizes here in this last chapter of the book. So, you know, it's sort of, you know, it's coming to an end, so you want to pay extra attention to the things that are in there. Of course, it's all important, but if it's the last thing that he's saying or emphasizing, you really want to pay attention. And three different times in just this one chapter, it's emphasized that Jesus had to die and had to be raised from the dead. The first time that we see that here in this last chapter is when the ladies came to the empty tomb and they met some angels. And what did the angels say? But they said, remember, Jesus told you this had to happen. Jesus had said that this was going to happen, so we knew that it had to happen. And a little light bulb goes on for them and they go, that's right, he did say that. But one of the ways Jesus emphasizes that it had to happen is he told them in advance and then he reminds them, this is what I told you. I had to be raised from the dead. I had to suffer on the cross and then be raised from the dead. And then the road to Emmaus, a second time here, when he's talking with these disciples, what is it that Jesus communicates to them? And he says, it was written that the Christ had to suffer these things and on the third day be raised from the dead. And so he emphasizes saying, not only did I tell you in advance, the Bible spoke these things and told us in advance. The scriptures testified that the Christ, that I, had to be put to death but then raised from the dead. And then finally, Jesus shows up himself and he combines these two things and he tells his disciples, isn't this what I told you? That the scripture said this is how it had to happen. In other words, he is trying to emphasize, Luke and Jesus himself, trying to emphasize how significant, how central Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection are. Now, why? Why did he want to emphasize that it was so important? Well, because it is the heart or the crux of God's plan of salvation. It is the piece that holds everything else together. It's like the hub of the wheel. Everything else that God is doing is centered around this act of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh as we'll celebrate here in the Advent season and then suffering on our behalf as a sacrifice for our sins and then being raised as the beginning of new creation for us. This is the heart of what God is doing to save his creation, to save the world, and to save his people. So Luke wants us to know this is the core. You've found it. Jesus says, this is the message that I am giving you to proclaim. They're going to be tasked with this job. And so he wants them to know, this is the thing not to miss. There's all kinds of other things you might focus on. This is the one that I want you to make sure you get. Now, if you were a reporter, right, and you came across a car accident, or you heard it on the police scanner, and you race there, and you start writing up your initial report, and then you head to your computer, or nowadays, just right there on your phone, and you're going to tell something that happened. You're going to tell the news, right? You're going to tell them what happened. You're not going to go, well, it was a nice sunny day out. Oh, the roads just looked so pretty today. And you just wander on and talk about all these other things. No, you're going to say, headline news, terrible car accident. That's the core. Now, you might expand on that and then in your article and tell more, but you want to get to the core. This is the core. This is the crux of what God has done and is doing to save the world. Jesus wants us to understand that. And then Jesus, after showing himself alive, and he's made it really clear, he's eaten food, they've touched him, I don't know if they've hugged or what, I don't know if Jesus was a hugger, probably so. You know, so they've touched him, and then he has shown them how important from the scriptures and from his own words, his life and his death and his resurrection are, and now he gives them a job. He deputizes them. He says, you are to be my witnesses. In verses 47 and 48, I think, are sort of the swearing-in ceremony for Christian deputies, because he says that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. He's not simply saying you happen to have seen these things. He's giving them an order. You are to be witnesses. You've seen this. Now, if you're a witness, that means you share and you say the things that you have seen and heard. So he gives his disciples a job. Now, it helps us, I think, to realize that that job has not been completed yet. It wasn't just the first 11. That job is carried forward now as we are witnesses to the things that we have heard and seen, not firsthand, but that message being carried forward. And I think it helps us as we think of ourselves as witnesses to see where this fits into God's plan. And so I came up with an analogy to help us understand where do we fit as witnesses into God's plan. And it's kind of like the making of a movie. All right, go with me here for a moment. A movie doesn't just spontaneously get filmed, right? It begins with a plan. And so there's maybe a screenwriter who comes up with something, and they connect with the producer, and they say, we're going to make this film, and then they start the hiring and the casting. They begin to go and look on location. They storyboard the whole thing. And so it's planned, and it begins to unfold in the plan. But then there comes a day when they finally actually shoot the film and edit it and make the film. So step one is there's got to be a plan, and it's purposed to make a movie. And then they actually make the movie. But, you know, they don't just immediately turn around and put it into a movie theater right away. They actually have, depending on the film, a long time in which they begin to advertise the film, sometimes ad nauseum. If you watched any television this last week, you probably saw some Star Wars ad or something because the movie is coming out in December. And so you'll see it, and they'll advertise and say, look, the movie is made, and if you want to be in, if you want to get a chance to see it, it's coming out soon. And so there's this period between when the movie is made and between when it actually gets seen in which they promote it. That's the age we live in. See, God always planned salvation. From the beginning, actually even before man and woman fell into sin and sin corrupted all of creation, God knew what was going to happen and he began a plan. And they began to unfold, do sort of the preliminaries of that plan that we have in Scripture in the Old Testament. People like Abraham and Moses and David. This is God setting up his plan of salvation and redemption. But then came the moment when the movie is made, when Jesus shows up and then suffers for us as a sacrifice for our sins and then is raised from the dead. The movie has now been made. The key component of salvation has happened in Jesus. But now he says, I want you to tell the whole world. Now is the time to promote this, and so that when I return, when the movie is finally in the theaters and you get to enjoy it firsthand, I want you to have invited as many people as possible. I want you to witness to the whole world that this is coming because this has already happened. The movie has been made, and you want to get in on it. You want to see it. So that's our job. We are witnesses. It began with the 12, with the 11, I should say, and it begins with them, but it carries forward. We still live in this age in which salvation has been secured in Jesus. But we are awaiting his return when it comes to its fruition and its fullness. And in the meantime, we are called, we are deputized, we are given authority and power to share and witness that salvation has come and it's available for you and for me. And so that's where we are in this thing. And we witness this. We are witnesses to this with our lives. We are witnesses to it as a church. Our very existence and the way that we interact with one another is a witness to this. And of course, with our words. We have to speak these words. We have to proclaim and say the things that we have heard and seen. And that Jesus has gone to great lengths to demonstrate that he came, that he died, and that he has been raised again. And the book of Acts, which is where we're going to be going, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the second part, the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it shows us how the first Christians did this, what it looked like for them to be witnesses, so that we can see how this story began to go throughout the whole world to the point that it's come even now to North America for you and I, and we're continuing to bring it to unreached people groups. And you have a part in that, in praying. You have a part in that, in giving like we will next week. You have a part in going, either to your own community or even around the world. You and I are called to be witnesses. We are Christian deputies. But we've been equipped for this task. Barney Fife got one bullet. You get three, all right? You get a few more than Barney Fife. Jesus equipped his disciples for the task of being witnesses. And we see it here, first of all, in what I've already been sort of saying over and over. We've been given the core message. That's the first thing that we have. We've been given this core message, and we see it there when he says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." That's the core. That's the thing that we are communicating. There's other things that can be said and should be said about that. There's all kinds of implications about the fact that God has come, that God is creator, that it changes the way we live and we act. And we need to make sure that we're talking about those things, but we have the core that God loves us and cares about his creation and sent his own son to rescue it, and that he's done all that is necessary to save us and redeem us. That's the core message. That's your first bullet if you're Barney Fife, if you're a deputy. You've got a bullet. You've got that message of salvation. The second thing, though, that he's given us, the second way he's equipped us for this task is he's helped us to understand the scriptures. I love that little verse in here. It says, "Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures." He taught them. He explained them. He opened their minds. This continues today through the work of the Holy Spirit, that God empowers us to understand the scriptures so that we read them. But it's not just simply an understanding like I get the facts that are on the page. I'm convinced a non-Christian can read this and understand the things that are in there. But this is an apprehension. This is a light bulb that goes off. This is where you begin to see it and savor it and say, this is good news. This is life-changing. And I'm understanding it and it's coming alive to me. The Holy Spirit does that. Jesus did that for his disciples where they began to open it and see with new eyes, fresh eyes, the truths that the scriptures were telling. We are given that same understanding when we come in faith and we read the scriptures. God opens our eyes to see it so that we can live it and we can explain it and we can help it make sense to others. And Paul says the church, he's given us the church as one means, and he's given us preachers and teachers to help us understand the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit who helps enlighten our eyes to understand the things that are written here. So we have bullet number one, we know what the core message is. Bullet number two is that we have the Word of God and God helps us to make sense of it and understand it. And the third thing, it's given to his disciples here in a promise form, but it's now realized for us, is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them, "You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He says, don't rush out there right now and try and do this in your own strength. You need to wait. And it won't be long. In fact, it's only 10 more days they have to wait. He says, but you need to wait because I'm about to give you the most important tool I can give you in being my witnesses. I'm going to give you my very empowering presence. I will no longer be with you in front of you where you can touch me. Not till I come back. And that's a day in the future that he doesn't tell us when that's going to happen. But he says, right here and now, the gift of the Father is the empowering presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And he has given that to us so that we can be witnesses to him. So we are not left alone to do this job. We are equipped for the task. We've been equipped because we know the core message. We've been equipped because we have the scriptures and we have understanding of them. And we have been equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, God's very presence, enabling us to live it out so that our lives are a witness. God's very presence in this community, this church, so that we live it out with one another. And God's very empowering presence so that in the moment of need, he'll even give us the words to say so that we speak his truth and we bear witness to his message. So Jesus ends by commissioning, by deputizing us. He says, you're my deputies. I want you to go out. I want you to promote this. I want you to tell the world. But I'm going to empower you, and I'm going to equip you to do it. That calling is the beginning of that short video we saw earlier. It says, I'm sending you, not just some of you, all of you. If you belong to him, you are a Christian deputy. You are a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ has come to save the world. I hope that you'll take that deputy job seriously. Mark Barney Fife. Take it with that seriousness. And yet don't do it in your own strength. Let the power of God empower you to carry forth that witness. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the book of Luke. I thank you for the messages that we've seen in it, for the power of your Son on display, for the power of resurrection that is real and right there in front of us. The disciples got to see you and touch you, and now they've told us that your resurrection is real, and now we are witnesses. Help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses. Help us to use your word. Help us to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to share good news to all nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.